You turn to the 1 Samuel, and we're not going to turn there. I want you to remember that, though. It would be good to write it down and go back and look at it at some point this week. It'd be a good place to go and look at why this psalm was written. It's a psalm of David, and in 1 Samuel, along about the 21st chapter and the 10th through the 15th verses, we read of David and a priest named Ahimelech, and most of you all have heard of the king Abimelech, but this was the priest named Ahimelech, and David and him had an exchange, but you've got to realize why he had the exchange that he did. If you remember, and I preached on this last Sunday evening about David slaying Goliath. And if you remember, King Saul was the king of Israel at this time, and David slayed Goliath, and suddenly Saul was kind of scared for his position as king. He realized that God was with David, and David was a man that the Bible says is a man after God's own heart. And it tells us over there in the 18th through about the 22nd chapter of the book of 1 Samuel about Saul and David's run-in. And Saul and David had quite a few times where things got a little sketchy with both of them. If you remember, and if you've ever read that, you've read about Saul taking a javelin and throwing it at David because Saul wanted to kill David. David was a threat, Saul thought, to his kingdom. Not that he thought he was going to overthrow it, but that he thought David was going to come after him and take his kingship away from him. So Saul being who that he was, Saul had, I believe there's more children than this, but there was Merib, Michael, and a son named Jonathan. And Jonathan and David had a great relationship, a beautiful friendship that you read about over there. And I encourage you to do so. But David was given Saul's two daughters as wives. So you might think Saul had a little bit of a personality disorder a little bit. Seemed to like David a little bit, but then turned around and threw his javelin at him. Not once, but about four times I read of. David escaped the clutches of Saul because Jonathan loved David. And Jonathan had heard what Saul was going to do to him. He knew that Saul was going to kill him. And so Jonathan told David, he said, "You need to get out of here. And you need to go and you need to leave this area." And there's a beautiful exchange between Jonathan and David. And so David leaves and we finally get down to where he meets this priest named Ahimelech. And what David tells him was, and David actually lied to him, and he said, "I've come on business for the king." But see, David was trying to run away from Saul. And he knew that he had to get away or his life was in danger. Now that doesn't condone lying. You look over in the 22nd chapter of the book of 1 Samuel and the priest Ahimelech was actually slain because of David's lie. So the Bible does not condone lying to get out of a situation. But David lied to him and David wanted the sword of Goliath and this priest had it. And as David begins to leave this priest, another king apprehends him. And David again fears for his life. David was kind of like a man you had poured oil on and slipped out of every situation that he found himself in. There's one reason that David got himself out of all of those situations. It wasn't because he acted like a madman to get away from the king that apprehended him after he had had his dealings with the priest. That wasn't the reason. It wasn't that he was sly or that he had some ability to escape everything that came his way, but there was somebody that was with him, and his name was God. You see, Saul recognized that David was a man of God, and that David had the Lord with him. Saul says that on multiple occasions. He realized that David was someone that God found favor with. And after that, and it says this is not directly tied to that, but that is the situation of where we get down to this psalm. And for a thought this morning, for just a few moments, and we're going to read about 10 verses, or 8 verses here. If I could take for a thought for just a few moments this morning, it would be, what has God ever done for me? And I want you to ask yourself that question. What has God ever done for you? If you're saved this morning, there's a whole lot God has done for you. If you're lost, even still, God has done things for you. The Bible says that the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. Some of you this morning may, in your hearts, may not really believe in God. You may think that we're all foolish for coming here this morning and singing and praying and worshiping someone we have never seen. Maybe today you don't think there's a God at all. I want to say this morning, you had better believe on the name of the Lord and Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you better believe with all of your heart. It's, as we talked about in Sunday school, it's not a mind salvation, it's a heart salvation. The Bible says, believe on the Lord with all of thine heart. That's what you must do in order to be saved. But even still this morning, if you're lost and do not know the Lord, God has still been good to you. But I want you to ask yourself, and I want you to reflect this morning, what has God ever done for me? And read this psalm with me, if you will. The first verse says this, I will bless the Lord, or I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, or lift him up, and let us exalt, or lift up again, his name together. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Now remember, when we're reading this, David was a saved man. He was not talking about seeking the Lord for salvation. He's talking about seeking the Lord as a saved person. So keep that in mind. He says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So our thought this morning is, what has God ever done for me? If I could take a verse of Scripture and use it this morning as a text, it would be that sixth verse. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. Again, David was already a saved man at this point. So he was not saying, he saved me again. You see, David many times in his life found himself in precarious situations, or situations he shouldn't have been in. Found himself in a lot of places that you and I would never find ourselves in. But yet, David still loved the Lord, and the Lord still loved David. And when you begin to read this psalm, I want you to think about this morning what God has actually done for you. You see, no doubt this morning, there are many of us that have had trials in our life. You see, I am convinced, and I hear this a lot, and maybe you do too. They say, you know, God just doesn't do much for me. Or God doesn't understand what we're going through. God doesn't realize what it's like to be a human. God doesn't understand what I'm going through. People get mad at God. Have you ever been mad at God? I have. Been just downright angry with Him because I thought that He had misheard me and not given me what I asked for. I want to tell you this morning, God is not a magical genie and you get three wishes. You can't rub His head. He show up and say, guess what? You get whatever you want. God doesn't work like that. But yet God says He will supply all of our needs. The Scripture also says that none of His have ever gone without. God supplies all of our needs. Never once has God let one of His go without His mercy or His grace being upon them. And you say, preacher, have you not read about the ones that died for His cause? You know why they died? Because they loved the Lord. Because they realized that God had done a whole lot for them. God had been with them. God had helped them. And therefore they were willing to give back to Him. What a thought that is. People say today, God doesn't understand us. But I disagree with you. Because God sent someone as His representative in the flesh. And that man is named Jesus Christ. You see, the Scripture says that He came as a man, yet He was without sin. Therefore, He came likened a
unto you and I, yet he did not ever do anything that sinned against God. You see, he was a representative. He came in the flesh as God himself. He is part of that Trinity, the Godhead that us as missionary Baptists believe in. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in that. We believe there are three parts, yet they are all equal. So Jesus Christ was God Himself while walking here on earth. I don't understand it, and neither will you all. There's a whole lot of things the Bible is kind of throws us for a loop on, and the Trinity is just one of those things. Yet we understand that Jesus came as a man. And people say, well, He doesn't understand what I'm going through. I've watched many times as loved ones have passed on. And I've heard people say, well, I don't understand why God took them. I've watched people who have lost loved ones at a young age. And they'll say, I just don't understand why a loving God would do something like that. I don't understand why He has taken my loved ones. I don't understand why He has done what He's done. Why, out of all the people, all of the bad people, why did You have to take my loved ones? And we say, God, I just don't understand. And you know, when that happens, people get angry with God. And they want to be mad at Him because they feel that they have been wronged by Him. How many of you have read about a man named Lazarus in the New Testament? Lazarus was a man that Jesus loved. And he had to go away. Lazarus died. And the family was there. And they began to look around. And Mary and Martha, they said, why is Jesus not here? Surely if He'd been here, He wouldn't have died. Sounds like a bunch of us. If God would have been here, surely, surely He would not have died. Why would God let that happen? Why does God not love us? You know what Jesus did? He came walking down the road. You know what He found when He got there? He didn't find Lazarus living. He knew that Lazarus had died. He knew all about it, and He knew that the family would be upset with Him. Yet when He got there, you know what Jesus did? You want to say that Jesus had no emotions? Yes, He did. You know what it says that He did when He got there? Jesus wept. You see, Jesus, being in the flesh, He felt emotions like every single one of us. He felt sadness for His friends, knowing that He had died. Now, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And I want to say this morning, and don't take it badly. When your family members go, they're not coming back. He's not going to raise them from the dead on while this time span is going on. Oh, but someday their bodies shall be resurrected and they shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Paul told the Corinthian church, they were asking about could people live again, and he said, yes, they shall. Why shall they live again? Because Jesus rose from the grave. And if Jesus be resurrected, there is hope for those that have died. Without Him, there is no hope. Jesus wept over the loss of His friend. So He knows what it's like to lose those that He loves. You talk about weeping and being sad over things. Have you ever had somebody that's hurt your feelings so bad? And you said, God, if they loved me, You wouldn't have allowed these things to happen. You wouldn't have allowed our friendship to deteriorate. And guess what? God, I'm mad at You. God, we get mad at God for everything. God gets blamed for a lot of things He didn't do. People say God lets bad things happen in our world today. If you look on the news, people would just blame Him for everything. Well, if God was really God, He wouldn't let our nation be in the shape that it's in. You know how many times He lamented and cried over the nation of Israel because they would not turn to Him. I've preached some messages that have been pretty strong the last few weeks about turning toward God. You don't think it hurts God today to know that a nation that He has loved for hundreds of years has turned its back on Him? Tell me He doesn't know about rejection. Have you ever been rejected by somebody? Ever been rejected by someone you love and it hurts? God knows what that's like. You say, preacher, I struggle with temptation. Surely God doesn't know what it's like to be tempted. His Son does. You remember what happened over there when the devil got a hold of Jesus? For 40 days and 40 nights, the devil tempted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You read about it over in the first part of Matthew. He tempted Him. He let Him know, or He tried to let Him know, that the devil was the king of this world. And you know how good that worked? Not very good at all. God is Jesus Christ Himself. And you've got to understand, when I use these words God and Jesus Christ, they're interchangeable in a lot of ways, but there is a separation between God and Jesus Christ. God is the Father. Jesus Christ is the Son. As I told you, Jesus Christ came as the representative. So the things that Jesus felt, God also knows about. And you want to know why God knows about them? Because He's God. He's all-knowing. He is all-knowing about your life and your life and everybody that's here. He knows all about us. He knows exactly what you're doing, when you're doing it, and how you're doing it. He knows all about it. Isn't that a great thing that our God knows just exactly what we're going through? He knows about temptation. Maybe you struggle with alcohol. Maybe you struggle with drugs. Maybe you struggle with some other kind of sin. Don't you think Jesus knows about that? You remember when He was here? Guess what He did? He labored with sinners, with harlots, with those that had different afflictions. He knows about all of those things. And you know what you need this morning? Instead of drugs and alcohol and things that take your attention, you need Jesus Christ living in your soul. He will change your life because God knows. What has God ever done for me? What has God ever done for you? We'll get there in just a moment. But He knows. He knows what it's like to live in a sinful world. He knows what it's like to know failure. He knows what it's like to know heartache. Everybody here, if I asked you to raise your hand, and I'm not going to, everybody here knows what heartache feels like. Everybody does. If you've had a family member that's died that you loved, somebody has hurt you, and that broke your heart. You've been hurt by church. Churches hurt people sometimes, and they shouldn't. Things in this life, they break your heart. You lose things that you love. Maybe you've lost your home. Maybe you've lost something else that you loved. And people say, God just doesn't understand. If God loved me, He wouldn't do that to me. If God really loved me, He wouldn't allow bad things to happen to me. As I told you, God is not a magic genie. And He does not say, I will give you everything that you want. There's a lot of things I'd like to have. A nice black Lexus sitting in the parking lot would be good with me. But guess what? When I go out in the parking lot, you know what car I'm still going to be driving? A white Honda Accord. It's not going to magically change to a black Lexus. God doesn't work like that. And we as God's people have got to stop thinking that God is the almighty grantor of all of our wishes. God is not there to make everybody happy. God is the supreme ruler of the world. He cares about you, and I'm going to prove that. But the things that we want, they pale in comparison to the things that are needed by those around us. I heard somebody say recently that God wasn't there to make all of us lottery winners. And that's true. I believe God supplies. And I believe God gives us blessings. And we're going to read about that in just a moment. I promise I'll try not to wear your patience too much this morning. But you think about what David said here in this psalm. You talk about God knowing. If God didn't know exactly what we went through, why would He incline Himself to a fallen world? Why would God Himself, being a supreme God that sits on the throne, the mighty judge of the world, why would He do that for us? As lowly human beings, why in the world would He give us the time of day? Because He knows. You know why He knows? Because He created us. And He knew that we would be sinners with a chance and a hope for salvation. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. What has God done for me? You read over in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. You talk about what God has done for you. If you've been saved, He's done the best thing that could ever happen to you. If God saved your soul and then left you, He's still done more than He's obligated to do. If He just saves your soul and leaves you, He's still good. You're still good. Now, life's going to be really hard. And it would be really hard if God didn't love us. I'm going to be honest with you. When I was growing up, I didn't really have an older brother to protect me. But now my little cousin, I would have beat anybody up for him. Now me and him could fight like cats and dogs, and we did. But now if anybody else tried to, it was war. He was my little cousin, and I was his protector. I wanted to make sure he was okay. See, God don't let other people pick on us. You see, the devil tries. You see, the devil tried with Job. But you know what the Bible says? He says Job could not touch his soul. He couldn't take away that part that had believed on God. Now, the devil will do things to you. The devil is a liar and he hates every single one of you all. Now, he will present himself as your best friend. He will come and he'll say, well, you know what? That preacher up there that's sweating all over the place, he has lost his mind. The God that he's talking about really doesn't know a thing about what you're going through. There's no way for him to know. And the devil will say, but I know. I know how it is. If you'll live for me, if you'll do my things, I'll make sure that you're okay. You know what? He's probably telling you in your mind, there's really not a hell. You know, there's really not a place that you'll go to. Why would he tell you that? Because he knows that he's going and he wants everybody to go with him. So the devil wants to take everybody that he can with him. The devil knows about your situation and guess what? He wants to push you further and further and further into bad things. Yet God is the one who wants to rescue you from them. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And this is for the child of God. You see, if you have not been saved, sure, God still loves you. If He did not love you, you would have no chance to be saved. He would end this all and say, guess what? Nobody gets saved and you all go to hell. And you know what we all really deserve? Hell. Every single one of us this morning deserves a devil's hell. Because why? We're sinners. And our rightful place as sinners is a place called hell. It says, therefore I say unto you, and this is the 25th verse, if you want to flip there. Remember, saved people, when you ask what God has done for you, think about these verses. Think about what God has really done for you. If you're lost this morning, I want you to think about something. If you do not know that you have been saved, and I mean truly saved, I mean there has been something that has happened down deep inside of you, a peace that surpasses all understanding, you need to think about something. If God has brought you here today, and He's given you one more breath, He has been good to you. If He gives you one more breath, He is even better to you. And that's a cycle that keeps going. It doesn't stop. And you need to think about this God and how good He can really be to you. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the birds are the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto stature? Can you make yourself more? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye need all of these things. You see, our God has made provisions for us that we would have what we need. You say, preacher, God really hasn't done a whole lot for me. I would have to say you're crazy if you can make a statement like that. When I hear people say God just doesn't care, or God just doesn't love us like the Bible says that He does, my God is a God of love. You see, the Bible and the preacher sometimes may paint a picture of a God that sits on a throne and just brings damnation to people. God brings damnation to people when it is just to do so. He does things as a just God. Anything that God does, He is just in doing. He's just in being how He is. People say again, well, you know, there's all of these bad people in the world. And preacher, I can't imagine why God would allow someone as good as my granddad or my mom or my dad or my sister or my brother to have this kind of sickness, or they've lost their life, or they've lost their home, or this, that, and the other. And you know, a lot of the things that those deal with, you know why they happen? Because of sin. Sin has a hold on this world. Sin is a curse that was placed there when Adam transgressed in the garden. Had Adam never sinned, there would probably be nothing bad that had ever happened. The Garden of Eden was a perfect place. Anything Adam and Eve had needed, it was within their grasp. It was probably, it talks about Jesus walking around in the cool of the day. I imagine that it was a perfect temperature. I imagine it was just beautiful. I imagine that everything that we could imagine was there and at their disposal. But Adam ruined all of that and let sin enter into the world. You see, sickness, aging, why do we get older? Sin. Sin makes us have to pass beyond this veil of life. You see, death is just something that happens to all of us. You say, preacher, why would He take those that are young? Why would He take the children? Why would He take people in the prime of their life? I can't answer those questions. You say, preacher, aren't you supposed to have all the answers? Isn't that book supposed to contain all the secrets to all of life's questions? Sure it does. And I've got an answer for why I don't know. And we talked about it in Sunday school. Brother Colin read the verses. It says, for His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than all thoughts. If it was my way, there would be nobody die. We wouldn't lose anybody until they got to an age where they were ready to go. And even then, you know what's hard for people to do? Let them go. Why is that? Because we have an attachment to them, and no matter how old they are, no matter what's wrong with them, we never want to let them go. We don't. And we say, preacher, God just doesn't understand that. You see, for those that have truly been saved by the grace of God, when someone leaves this life, you know what happens? They go on to a far, far better place. And that's hard for us to understand. It's not something easy for us to grasp. But I guarantee you this morning, where your loved ones who have been saved, where they're at today, guess what? They wouldn't come back. Not a one of them would make the trip back from heaven to this place. On the flip side of that coin, those that have died in their sins and are lost, they'd give anything to get right back up here and seek the Lord for the salvation of their souls. And you say, preacher, again, how can God, being a loving God, send people to hell? Let me tell you why God can send people to hell. You read about John 3:16. For God, what? So loved. He loved it so much that He gave. Didn't offer, He gave it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only, one and only
begotten His only Son, that whosoever, everybody has a chance to get saved. You do today. Everybody that has been born or will be born has an opportunity to get saved. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth, not believe with your mind, but believe with a heart, and believe until you are saved by the grace of God, should not perish. You say, preacher, you say they're going to die. The Bible says, for it is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Guess what? It's appointed that we die. What's this perish talking about? Talking about dying in your sins. Should not perish. Should not go to that place called hell where there's everlasting dying for people who've not been saved. But what? Have everlasting life. Let me tell you something today, church. If this is the last time I ever stand in this pulpit, and some reason I walk out of here today and this is it for me, if I never make it back to Mount Calvary Church, let me make you a promise. Let me make you a promise. I'm 23 years old. As the way time goes, I shouldn't die in the next few years. I should have a long life ahead of me. Those of you that are young, we expect to live a long time. We make plans. You know what God does when you make plans? He laughs. You say, preacher, why does God laugh? Because God's will is already surpassing our plans. My plan is to live a long time. My plan is to pastor this church a long time. That's my plan. But you see, when God is ready for me, and if He's ready today, if this is it for me, guess what? I'm out of here. I'm going to where I really want to go, and why is that? Because God has been so good to me. You ask me how good God's been. I was a little boy one night on my knees, just as lost as I could be, bound for hell. Oh, and right on the front seat of that bench, I knelt before an almighty God and He saved my soul. God has added over my life blessings that I cannot even imagine. He's given me more than I could ever hope to have. But everything that I've got rests upon Jesus saving my soul one night when I knelt before Him. That's the best thing. You can have it all, but if you don't have the Lord, you've got nothing. You can have it all. You can have everything you want. God could give you everything, and without salvation, you'd have nothing. When I read about what happened to David over there in that 34th Psalm, this is my life story. It says, this poor man cried. As saved children of God, guess what? Sometimes life just gets hard. You struggle with things. I struggle with things. I've never had anybody take a javelin and throw it at me yet, though. I'm expecting it any day, but they haven't yet. David was facing something. I've never faced somebody trying to kill me. I've never faced it. But you know, David talks in many Psalms. He says, for the Lord is my rock. He's my comfort. And He's my salvation. He says, this poor man cried. Who did he cry out to? Did he cry out to Jonathan? He loved Jonathan. He knew Jonathan couldn't help him. There's only one person that he could go to that could help him. Guess who that was? It wasn't me and it was not you. It was God Himself. And he cried out. He said, this poor man cried. Read it. Look at it with me. Look at it with your own eyes this morning. It says, and the Lord heard me. How many times as children of God have you gotten down to a point when you were at your lowest and God heard you? I'm convinced that every time we get down and try to make some little piddly prayer to God, He doesn't hear all that. If you're praying to God and just saying the same thing over and over and over, He says, don't come to me with vain repetition. You have wearied me with your repentance. God wants people to cry out to Him. And guess what? I'm not talking to that wall over there that ain't going to answer back. I'm talking to somebody who hears me and listens to me. You may have turned me out this morning, completely tuned me off. And if you have, bless your heart, that's fine. But I've got somebody that listens to me. And this is what He said. He saved him out of all of his troubles. Did that mean they went away? It didn't. It means that God loved him enough that He'd be with him. Did He save his soul? David had already been saved. But God saves us from things in our life. Are you really going to stand and say, God has never done anything for you? You may feel that way. In your heart, you may say, God just does not care about me, and I don't care about Him. I'm just here because I've got to be here. Maybe that's the way you think. But one of these days, life's going to be over for you. Life's going to be over for me. Told you, it's coming for you. You can run, but you cannot hide. And try. I used to like to play hide and seek. I always lost. I was kind of slow. They always found me. You can run, but you can't hide. If you're lost today, I beg you to seek the Lord. I'm going to tell you, when God saves that soul, you'll say, God has been so good to me. And you'll say, what has God ever done for me? You can say, He saved my soul. When I was lost, God heard me. And then guess what? He's going to hear you the rest of your life. Let me tell you something. People don't like for people to say this, preachers to say this, but guess what? It's the truth, and you've got to deal with the truth. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, free, you can pray as a lost person all you want to for everybody else. But until you've been saved, those prayers aren't getting above your head. You can't pray for anybody else except your soul until you have been saved. God will not hear you. But what He will hear is a cry of repentance, a turning from sin, a realization that you were lost and need to be saved. He will hear that prayer. If He can hear someone like me, surely, surely He can hear someone like you. I've got just a few more things I want to say this morning, and then I'm going to close. I want you to read the first part of these verses with me one more time. 34th chapter of the book of Psalms, 34th division. If God has been good to you, and you can stand and you can say, God has done so much for me, this is what you ought to do. You say, preacher, don't tell me what I need to do. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I want the Bible to speak, not me. And remember, people have hard times. You're going to, I'm going to. It's just human nature. It's part of living to have ups and downs and in between times. It's nature. It's the way that things are. Don't expect God to do something for you if you won't do anything for Him. Even still, though, God will still bless you. You say, preacher, I've not been doing what the Lord wants me to do. If you haven't, you're still breathing and God's still good to you. Still walking around well. God's been good to you. If you can say this morning that God has been good to you, this is what David said. It says, I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us lift His name up or exalt His name together. If God has been good to you, and even if you think that He hasn't, we still should praise His holy name. When we come together and worship the Lord in this place, we need to forget about everything else and worship God and lift His name up because God has been good. He's been good to Mount Calvary Church. If you're here this morning, He's been good to you.
said, "Preacher, it's been a long morning. Guess what? You got up. Somewhere, somebody in Nashville, Tennessee didn't make today. They didn't get up this morning. They didn't face this new day, but you did. If you're lost, it's good. One more opportunity for you. If you're saved, you still got work to do. Let me ask you something. Is God not worthy to be praised? Is God not worthy to be honored and glorified? Let me ask you something today. Are you worthy of the blessings that God has given you? You reflect back this morning, this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, the rest of this week. I hope that the message this morning doesn't go in one ear and out the other. Again, I'm not aiming for your toes. I'm aiming for your heart. I want it to set up in here. I want you to think about it. As you're going through this week, has God not been good to you? Should I not give Him more of my time, more of my ability, more of the things God has done for me? If He's given you a talent, you better use it. He's given you the ability to pray and you've been saved, you ought to pray. If He's given you life, you know what you ought to do with that life? Live it for Him. It's His life. He give it. And guess what Job said? He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." Let me ask you again this morning. What has God done for you? I'm not going to ask you to tell me. I don't need to know. Some of you have had mountains and valleys, and you'd say, "I remember this one time back in 1963. Boy, things were hard. And you know what God did? He got me through it." You'd all have stories like that. But you know what you've done? You've forgotten about how good God's been. You've forgotten all the times that He's helped you and been there for you. Maybe you've forgotten about it. It's time today that we remember what God has done. That last scripture I read said this. It said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You don't know that He's good until you've tasted and you've seen. I would never know that I like country ham unless I tasted it and saw that it was good. I could eat a whole country ham by myself because I tasted it one time. I liked it, and now I'd eat the whole thing. I don't need to. I would. People today that can stand and say God has not been good or that God's not real, guess what they've not done? They've not tasted and they've not seen. You need to taste and see that the Lord is good. David said in some scripture, in Psalms, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Have you lost the joy of your salvation? I'm not talking about losing your salvation. You cannot do that. You cannot lose your salvation, but you sure can lose the joy of it. I have been there and I have done that. Are you willing to rekindle that flame and start praising the Lord and let that soul just burn up once again with the glory of what God has done for you? I'm going to close. Brother Colin, I know that you probably have a song and that's fine, but I'd ask, we sang it already and it was on my heart all week. This message has been on my heart all week. I want us to stand together. I'd like for Sister Faye to come up and play "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." One more time, I'd like for us to sing that. And I want us to stand and you think about those words in that song. I don't want you to sing it like we're just singing something. I want you to sing it like you're singing to the Lord. Saying, "Lord, I love You. And there have been times it's been hard. Yet You have taken my hand and You've led me through it." Sing it in the way that will bless God this morning. Don't sing it just like you're singing out of a boring old hymnal. I want you to sing it with the conviction of the Lord this morning, because there's been a lot of times I've had to ask, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Just lead me on. And let me stand." Why? Because I'm tired. And I'm weak. And Lord, I need You. Please, this morning, stand with me. Let's sing this song. And I mean, sing it this morning. Sing it. Look at the words. Think of how good that God has been to you. Because He has been good. If you need to pray, and you know that you're not saved, you come and you seek the Lord. And you can leave today with that peace and that assurance in your soul. If you're saved and you need to come pray, you come pray. But you have got to know about this. This is life and it's death. This is eternal things that we're talking about today. So you seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Amen.
When my way.
Says that when the Lord was going away, and he knew that he was leaving, and he said, "I go to prepare a place, that where I am, ye may be also. I go to prepare a place for those that love me." Told you, if I never get to stand here again as your pastor, because the Lord has called me out of here, he's good. Because he went to prepare a place for me. July 14th of 2004. He didn't give me a move-in date. I know one day, I'm not going to back a U-Haul truck up to the front door of that mansion, but I'm moving in. I'm going to leave behind this world and everything that it has, all the troubles that's ever been here. The Bible says that there shall be no tears in heaven. No tears. Why? Because there's no sadness, no sorrows. And it's a place that's prepared for those that have been saved by the grace of God. What a thought. That he's gone to prepare a place for me. Oh, what a joy. Why? Because he's been good. And you know what I'd do? If he took everything that I had, took my family, took my home, took everything that I had, every dime that I had, it would be hard. Boy, and you know, I'd probably be mad at God. I'd probably say, "God, why did you do this to me?" But you know what I'd realize? He's still good. Because God is good. And all the time, God is good. And I'm thankful for that. Anything on your hearts?